Welcome everybody to the Script Doctor Podcast. My name is David.
And my name is Casey, and we're your hosts.
And we're here because we love movies and TV shows, and frequently they are very disappointing.
So we created this podcast to discuss and try to fix them. Now I know what you're thinking. Are they real doctors?
No, we're not.
In fact, David and I have bachelor's degrees in business, and boy has that got us so far.
And you may be wondering if we're in the entertainment industry.
No, we are just two friends that are passionate about movies and TV shows and talk about how they could be better. Hi, David.
Hello, Casey.
How are you today?
I feel happy.
Really?
Finally.
Why is that?
Because we're talking about a movie that we like this time.
Really changing it up a bit.
Yeah, we are.
So this is episode 5, the celebration episode. And we are talking about Wonder Woman today.
So going forward, every fourth episode of the Script Doctor Podcast will be a special episode.
Basically, we are thinking of different types of episodes to do. If you have any suggestions, please DM us, let us know.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
Yes. So right now we have a celebration episode where we're going to talk about movies that we both like. And then we're going to have a 50-50 episode where there is something that one of us likes and the other doesn't. And so far, it's where I like it and David does not.
Surprised?
Not at all.
No, I don't think they would be either.
So, jumping in, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Oh, man.
What a wonder.
Hey! So, Wonder Woman was directed by Patty Jenkins and written by Alan Heinberg. It came out in 2017, and oddly enough, this is not Wonder Woman's first appearance in the DC Cinematic Universe.
Ooh, what was her first appearance?
Her first appearance was in Batman vs. Superman, and she was actually probably the most exciting part of that whole movie. Like, I remember being in the theater, and when she showed up and started doing her thing, the whole audience started clapping. And unironically, too, because after what was a disaster of a film, Batman vs. Superman, she came out and was one of the bright shining lights in this big pile of poop that was Batman vs. Superman.
I have to confess, I haven't seen Batman vs. Superman, so I can't attest to that, but I definitely believe you.
Oh, not to worry, listeners. Casey is going to watch Batman vs. Superman. We are going to do an episode on that disaster of a movie.
Oh, okay.
Yes, a preview of coming events sometime soon. Not that soon, but eventually. We have a lot of things to get through.
We have a ton of movies we want to get through, but if you have any suggestions, definitely...
Like, comment, and subscribe.
Yes, DM us on Instagram, at Script Doctor Podcast, and just let us know.
Woo!
Alrighty, David. So, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Okay. So, broad strokes, Wonder Woman is a great movie. It's not perfect, but it's really, really, really good. It is easily one of DC's best movies.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like, definitely. My favorite one is Shazam, but this is a close second. It's real good.
Shazam was really good.
It was.
We can definitely do a celebratory episode of that
at some point. Someday. So Wonder Woman is all about how Diana entered into man's world and had adventures at the end of World War I, and she discovered what humanity is all about.
And basically everything that she didn't expect, in a sense.
It's definitely a big twist for her. So let's just get into the more nitty-gritty stuff. So we open up on Themyscira. It is the island of the Amazons. It is very much old-timey...
Greek-looking.
And there's little Diana. She's the only child that lives on this island. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That'll be more important later. And she really wants to be a warrior. She wants to learn how to fight.
Like everyone else.
Because it's a very strong warrior culture vibe kind of going
pretty
on
much,
this whole island.
It seems like pretty much everybody is
a warrior. Looks like. Her mom doesn't initially want her to become a warrior. She eventually changes her mind. It's within the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Things get interesting on Paradise Island. Diana's all grown up now. She's a young woman. We really don't know exactly how old she is, but she's a young adult. She's Gal Gadot at this point.
Yeah, I would say she's in the film maybe in her 20s, 30s.
That's what she looks like in the film.
Right.
But we have no idea what her actual age is. Mm-hmm. But she sees a plane, and the plane is crash landing into the water just on the shores of Themyscira. She goes and rescues the pilot, and it is...
Chris Pine!
Steve Rogers! I mean Steve Trevor.
So Steve Trevor crashes on the Mascara, and right behind them is a whole bunch of Germans that come into the Mascara, and it's clear that, at least in Diana's lifetime, she hasn't seen an outsider or a foreign object like a plane.
She acts like she's never even seen a male human before either.
That's right.
She's like, are you a man?
So she runs up to them. The Germans come ashore. All the Amazons come out there. They start throwing arrows and fighting at them.
There's a big fight.
Yeah. And more or less, the Amazons win with a few losses.
Including Robin Wright, who is killed tragically.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she was Jenna from Forrest Gump.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bless her heart.
I know. And she and she dies real quick.
Yeah, so basically they beat the Germans. And they take Steve Trevor as prisoner.
Chris Pine.
Yes. And he's a spy.
He's a captain in the American military, and he's been assigned to British intelligence to help them in the war effort, basically. Right.
So Diana starts questioning him about where he came from, what's going on, and he starts talking about the war, and she's like, a war?
And this is actually a really interesting part, because the war that Chris Pine is talking about is World War I. And he talks about it in apocalyptic terms, like millions of people are dead and it's going to get worse and the world is going to end. It's the war to end all wars. And it's a great character moment because that's exactly what people at the time thought about World War I. They thought war could not be any worse than what it was like in World War I. They thought, truly, this is going to be the last war. How can we possibly get into another fight after we resolve this? And it's great because in Chris Pine's perspective, Steve Trevor's perspective on World War I and how it's going to end life on Earth as he knows it is what drives Diana to start making the next choices that he makes in this movie. The choices that lead her to leave Paradise Island and to enter man's world.
Right. And she had heard stories that Ares was going to come back, the god of war.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, this is it. Like, I have to find Ares. Like, if I find him and kill him with the God Killer sword, then it'll end the war. I can do it.
Yeah, her earnestness, her just complete honesty and just goodness kind of shines through in this moment. Like, she is driven entirely by her duty and compassion for humanity to go ahead and leave man's world because she thinks that is the right thing to do. And her mother disapproves. She tells Diana, hey, no, you can't go. And it's great because Diana just goes ahead and is like, yes, I am gonna go. And she gets a boat ready for her and Steve Trevor, and they leave. And as Diana leaves, her mother stops her, and they have a conversation. I don't think this is the best scene in the movie. I think this is probably the most important scene in the movie, though. This is where we really establish that Diana is definitely, absolutely going to go into man's world. She's going to find Ares. She's going to kill him. And it's going to cost her Themyscira. Her mother tells her that you may not ever be able to return to Themyscira if you leave now with this man.
Right.
It's not totally clear if she means that she literally can't, as in she won't be able to find Themyscira.
Or like once you leave, you can't come back.
Or that she's not allowed to leave, exactly.
Yeah. We have no idea the way that she worded it, but it's definitely interesting because she's been there her entire life, however long that's been. And it's a possibility she might not ever see her mom or any of her family, any of the other Amazons ever again.
And by now, Gal Gadot is just acting so good. Like, I really love her performance in this movie. Like, by this point in the movie, I was just, like, completely on board with her. Her background is modeling, and honestly, it's not all the time that models are actually great actresses, but she really is.
She really sold it.
She did. And the next few scenes are kind of great. We get to have a nice, long conversation between Chris Pine and Gal Gadot, Diana.
She's not clueless about stuff, but like, it's clear that she hasn't ever seen a man before.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see her with like her curious eyes.
She's not an idiot.
No, not at all.
She's just naive.
Yeah. On the boat, she starts talking with Chris Pine. He starts asking her questions like if she knows about this or that or
whatever.
They have
great chemistry.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
And it's really funny. He's like, oh, do you know about this? And she's like, oh, of course, I read all 12 volumes of that subject. And then
they're talking about sex.
Yes. And then they get to a conversation of, like, how she came to be, and she was like, oh, my mom molded me from clay and asked Zeus to bring me to life. And he's like, oh, okay, cool.
Chris Pine gives her this look of, okay, right.
Yeah. Well, they arrive in Britain.
In London.
Yes. I really love the scene when he's, like, walking her to his office. Yes. And she's like, oh my god, a baby! And he's like, I don't know, you can just touch it.
And she opens up her robe to try to reveal her armor, her very revealing clothes at the time, or what would have been very revealing clothes at the time.
Right.
And Steve Trevor has to be like, no, 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 no. And tell her, like, oh, how to behave and how to...
I love the look that she gives. She's not like, oh, like... embarrassed or anything.
Right.
She's just like, what are you doing?
She's being completely herself, but she's a complete fish out of water, and we get all that through Steve's perspective. And we're seeing exactly what he would do in that situation.
Right.
Which is that he would have to, like, protect her from being too revealing with her clothing, protect her from being too much of a dummy and, like, touching babies, strange babies.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's really cool.
So he takes her shopping.
Yes.
Oh, well, first, he introduces... her to his secretary.
Yes.
I love that scene as well. And she was just like, yeah. Oh, what do you do? And
she's super fun.
She was like, oh, it's Aunt Hilda from Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Another pretty good show.
Yeah, even though you haven't finished it, David.
I haven't finished it, but from what I've seen, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
The second season stumbles a little bit, but it's a fun show.
Well, Aunt Hilda, she's there. Yeah. And she is like, oh, I do this for him. Like, I get his stuff. If he tells me to do this, I get his coffee, whatever. She's like, where I come from, that's called slavery. She's like, oh, I like her.
Yeah. It's a really fun back and forth. And when she goes shopping, she's going clothes shopping so that she doesn't stick out like a sore thumb like she has been in the first 5 minutes that she's been in London this whole time.
Right.
And she tries on, like, so many outfits, and she... destroys many of them.
I love her facial expressions. They're so, so good.
They're great, because she's just, like, so confused, like, do women in this culture wear armor of this kind? How does it protect them? How do they fight?
And it's a corset.
And it's stuff like a corset. She doesn't get that this is just stuff to wear and look pretty.
Right.
Not to take into combat. It's super fun. We have a scene where they leave the store.
And they head to the office.
They head to the office. They get intercepted by German spies who are there to take back some intelligence that Steve Trevor stole and that brought him to Paradise Island to begin with. And that's when we have Diana kind of revealing to Steve Trevor just how pretty...
powerful.
Pretty powerful she really is.
She's powerful, pretty strong, pretty quick.
Very quick, very agile, very graceful, and still ridiculously fast and strong. And just good at fighting.
Right.
And it's a lot of fun. We get to have Diana then just have a peek into the peace talks that are going on in Britain as far as the incoming or the soon-to-be agreed-upon armistice with the Germans and the Axis powers, which would end World War One.
Essentially
end World War One. However, Steve Trevor has this intelligence that says that the Germans are going to mount one last offensive using some very deadly gas, and Wonder Woman is not pleased by this. Neither is Steve Trevor, for that matter. But Diana is much more driven to just... she wants to find Ares. She needs to find Ares. She believes that if she finds Ares, all the Germans will just put down their guns.
Yeah, like, Ares is the one influencing everyone that is on, essentially, I guess, the bad part of the war.
She believes that Ares is making all of these men evil.
Yeah.
And that it's not just, not these flawed individuals fighting in this awful war.
We have that scene where she's in the office with these captains.
Officials.
Officials, yeah. And basically...
generals, heads of state, ambassadors, that kind of thing. Right.
And basically they were just going to let their people die. Like, they weren't going to do anything with what was going on at the moment.
In the name of the armistice.
Right. And she, you know, spoke up, said something. She didn't understand that at this time, back in the day, that women really don't speak up and really aren't in roles like that.
Yes.
And really shouldn't be there in the first place. So they're like, why is she even here? And so when they were like, you need to stop, and she just doesn't understand, like, the Amazon is literally an island full of women. There's no men.
Right. Which is really subtle kind of world building as far as Diana goes, because she is... we get to experience this whole thing through her experience, and it's just, it's kind of fun. It's outrageous to see her just silenced like that, but at the same time, it just obviously makes a ton of sense for, well, societal norms at the time, awful mm-hmm. as they were. But it's just really cool how this movie just resets our biases, and then we get to really experience this, well, with our main character, Diana. And we get to feel it with her, how, like, awful it is that these men are going to die, and these generals know that they're going to be killed.
They're not going to help them.
They're not going to help them at all.
Yeah. So from there, they go and try and recruit people because they won't send Steve Trevor back out there.
Right.
Officially. So he goes to find some friends, and one of his officials, General, goes and finds him, and he was just like, he's going to help him, but under the table.
Right, unofficially.
Yeah.
He gives him some money and says, this should fund you for a bit.
Yeah.
And they take off, and even already, Diana starts, just on their journey over to the front, to the war front in France, they get to see just some horrific things. Diana sees some soldiers who look like they've been shell-shocked, as in they look like they're just traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
She sees a few that are just
wounded.
She sees one man who's just missing a leg and is just screaming in pain, and
she wants to help, but he's like, we need to keep moving.
Yes, consistently, because they're just all these people either asking for help, calling for help, or otherwise just need somebody to help them.
Yeah.
Either moving cargo, or moving a patient, or stopping a wound from bleeding out. All these things are just happening around her, and she just looks overwhelmed, and it's, God, it's great.
Yeah, she...
It's awful, but it's great.
Her heart is just so big. She just wants to do the world the best that she can give.
If you haven't noticed already, like, we love Diana's character
yeah.
in this movie. She's great. She's just likable.
She's driven.
She's motivated. We know and understand why she's driven and motivated, and we get to see her make choices that have consequences on her behalf, but she's still motivated to do them because that's just what she believes to be the right thing, and it's just great.
Yeah. So from there, they go to no man's land.
They go to into the trenches.
Right.
One civilian woman.
And she basically just wants to go out there and go help. And he was like, no, you can't go out there. That's no man's land. That means that no man can pass this land. And he's like, these people have been here for a couple years. They only moved like a few inches.
Which is actually very historically accurate.
Yeah.
Trench warfare in World War I was very, very slow moving. Almost no progress was made despite how free and deadly it was.
Yeah. So she is like, well, I'm going to do something about it. And she takes off her coat.
She undoes her hair.
Yep. And we have Wonder Woman in her beautiful outfit. And she gets up there. She starts going. She has like these plates on her arms that are bulletproof, yes. essentially. So she is going... Oh, and she also has
her shield.
And her sword as well. Her God Killer sword. Yes. So she goes with the shield, but she's also using her arms. And, like, the bullets are all going towards her.
At one point, they do pin her down.
Yeah. And then... But they're all going towards her. And it gives her crew, Chris Pine and the people he recruited, a moment to get up and start shooting and get off of the trench. And then she gives them room, and everybody's able to move, and they're able to get to the other side of the trench and, like, take everybody out and get to that town.
She destroys the machine gun, and there aren't a ton of action scenes in this movie, but, God, they're really, really fun. Diana looks appropriately like she might get hurt, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she gets shot, and it does hit her frequently, it always hits her in her armor, though. Partly because she's just skilled enough to kind of only expose those parts of her, the armored yeah. parts, which is great. But also just because, like, she's just agile enough to kind of, like, position herself to either block with her shield, block with her gauntlets, or to just get out of the way, and yet still keep fighting. And it's just a ton of fun. It's so good. This movie is just, it's just so much fun to watch Wonder Woman just fight, and there's just not a ton of CGI in it. It's great.
There's a point of, like, where somebody's naive enough to be like, okay, you can go ahead and try and do that, but in reality, that's not gonna work.
Yeah.
And at least for a while, like, she's just like, I can do this, and they're like, okay, and she actually does.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily easy, like, she's working to it.
She's working through it. She's clearly, like, not able to be it everywhere at once. A civilian does get shot. Despite her presence there, she's not able to save everybody. which is again kind of a running theme in this movie, and it's still driven home in this action scene. She can't save everybody, but she can save a lot of them, and she does. And the Germans are driven out of this village. Things just kind of settle down for a bit. So things kind of calm down after our big action scene, and this is where a photographer gets our heroes together, Diana, Steve Trevor, and their little squad. They get them together, and they have the picture that appears in Batman vs. Superman, the one that Batman finds. And
which at the beginning of this film, we do have Diana at the literal present, where she's at work, and she gets a delivery from Bruce Wayne, and it's the photo.
With a nice note.
Yeah.
Handwritten note from him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how we frame this movie, is Diana just kind of recollecting the events around that picture, which is another good little detail for this whole
which
movie.
Which is her beginning, essentially.
It's her beginning, and it's a great little way to just kind of frame this whole thing. It's really cool.
Yeah. And when things are calm in the village, her and Chris Pine share a little slow dance.
They have another conversation, and it's... God, their conversations are great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always fun to just, like, see them do their
interact.
Thing. Yeah, it really is. And by this point, it's becoming clear that they're developing feelings for each other.
Feelings? What are those?
Romantic feelings.
Whoa!
Oh, man. And it's nice. It works for them. Like, I could see them together. So...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they work. It makes sense. I just kind of love how slow it has been building up throughout this movie. Just very slowly. The fish out of the water stuff. All the little adventures that they're having. And now they're, you know, being romantic. Good for them.
And Chris Pine calls his official, his general...
His superior. His boss.
The one that unofficially let him go out there, which happens to be...
Remus Lupin.
From Harry Potter.
Hey!
How exciting. And he basically tells him, like, oh, we got into this town, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, what's the update? And they're like, oh, we found basically, like, the head guy of the German army.
The one who's gonna order the gas attack.
Right.
Is at this...
Gala.
This gala.
And he's like, oh, it just happens to not be that far from the town that you're in. He was like, oh, perf. And he was just like, no, you're not supposed to go and you might ruin this, blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, gotta go, bye.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, let's go ahead and let's show up to this gala. So they go up. Chris Pine's like, let me go in there, which is honestly pretty risky because he infiltrated their base.
It is really risky. He's a spy, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think we've talked much about Steve Trevor in this whole conversation, but we may as well do it now, which is to say that he's just a guy, man. He's just a soldier. It's really interesting how well he works with Diana. Because the contrasts are great. She's uber powerful, uber fast, superhumanly fast, and can topple mountains if she really, really wanted to. And he's just the man with the gun and the drive to really try.
A pilot.
And a pilot. He is a pilot.
Yeah.
And apparently he does have a talent for accents. We'll see in a few minutes.
Jumping back a little bit, Steve Trevor basically infiltrated this German base and stole this Dr. Poison's book of this special gas that she was going to make that was essentially going to, like, kill a whole bunch of people. And he wasn't covered at all. Like, his face wasn't covered. Like, So it's very possible they could have seen his face. So him going into this gala is pretty risky.
It's pretty gutsy.
Yeah. But he tells Diana that, oh no, you stay here, I'll go do it, and he goes in.
There's a kind of a silent implication that he's making that, Diana, you have no idea how to be quiet, you have no idea how to blend in, you don't know how to stay incognito, and that's what we need to do right now. Let me handle this.
Do you also think maybe he just wanted her to be safe, in a sense?
That is not Steve at this point.
Okay.
Like, Steve, by this point, understands that, like...
She is much stronger than him.
If there's danger to be had, she's not going to be in any danger.
Yeah.
It's more an issue, this is how the mission is going to be accomplished.
Right.
It's going to be accomplished right now through the spycraft that he knows, which does involve lying, deception, and theft, all of which are dishonorable acts on Themyscira and things that Diana just doesn't do. She doesn't believe in, as far as warfare goes.
Well, he tells her to stay, and of course, she's not a dog. She's not going to do that.
No.
So now Diana, she goes and she finds this woman who's waiting to get inside this gala, and gets out of her car, and Diana looks at her.
Steals her dress.
And she steals her dress, but it's just really funny how, like, the scene is set up like she's just looking at her, and the lady stands, and then she stands next to her to like match herself up with her, and she steals a dress.
Yeah, it's really funny.
And they're inside the gala. She sees the general of the Germans, which she believes to be is Ares, since he is this, like, the head of the Germans.
Ares in disguise. She yes. believes that this is Ares in disguise, and that Ares, this general, is directing all the evil things that have gone on in this war. All the evil that she has seen, it is driven by this one person, this general.
Yeah. And he engages in a dance with her, and she literally has her sword in her back.
She is ready to kill him yeah. on the dance floor.
And then they have a certain conversation, and she kind of ticks him off just a little bit, but he's very calm, and he's just like, enjoy the fireworks. And Chris Pine shows up.
Telling her, you need to leave, you are causing a lot of disturbance.
Mm-hmm. And then these quote-unquote fireworks were actually the gas bombs to that village that they literally just saved. And she was like, yeah. oh no. And she runs back to the village, and every civilian that was there is dead.
And there's a moment where Chris Pine, Steve Trevor, prevented Diana from murdering this general at the gala.
In front of everyone.
In front of everybody. And at this point starts believing that, oh, Chris Pine, he's been infected by the evil of Ares or something. Because if not for Steve Trevor stopping her, then she would have prevented this tragedy from happening. Right. Or at least that's what she thinks. And Chris Pine starts to try to reason with her. And she doesn't really hear much of it.
No. Well, she runs to that village, she sees what's happened, and then she's so angry that she heads to the closest German base, which is where the general is at. And yes. she goes and finds him. Also, Dr. Poison had given him, like, a pill that makes him stronger or something. It's kind of weird.
Or something.
We don't know, but you can clearly see when he, like, smells the pill, his face, like,
things happen.
Yeah, it's weird. But he takes that pill, so he's a bit stronger than a normal human at that moment. She's fighting him, she's trying to kill him, and she's talking to him, thinking that he's Ares. And eventually, she does kill him.
Yes.
But
with the sword.
Yes, with the God Killer sword.
Yes.
And she looks around, and nobody's stopping, nobody's doing anything.
Everybody's still loading bombs, everybody's still standing their post, everybody is still following orders to do what he had said to do her earlier.
Nothing's changed, and she's like, I thought killing Ares would change these people and they would stop.
Steve Trevor shows up.
He tries to convince her to go, and she's just out of it. She's just really upset. She can't believe what's going on.
And this is basically when Steve Trevor explains to her, hey, you know what? Maybe people aren't just purely good or purely bad. Maybe they do both, and that it's kind of complicated. And Diana is so distraught, it seems, from this epiphany that she can't really even
fathom.
She can't fathom it. She just can't really. She cannot even, as it were. Yeah, she can't fight. She just stands there looking.
She's just
confused
shocked.
And shocked. Yeah. And even when Steve Trevor says, like, hey, we're going to go into battle and stop a thing, she's like,
He sees all the gas bombs getting loaded onto a plane, and he's like, this is our moment to stop this, because they were literally taking that plane to London.
Right. That's their target.
Yes. So he has a chance with his squad, and he's like, I gotta go. I gotta do this.
And Diana just can't.
Yeah, she can't move. So then him and his squad try and go and get on this plane while Diana's just sitting there, and then she, like, moves, and then, like, a panel's there, and then you see someone, and
it's Remus Lupin.
Yep. And she's just like,
what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And
he starts talking to her, and then, dun da da da, he's actually Ares.
Oh my god.
I was like, he doesn't look like an Ares to me.
No, he doesn't.
David's like, that's the point.
Yeah. That's partly the point, but like,
I get it, but like, you know, I'm a big fan of Greek mythology, and not that Ares is supposed to look one certain way. It's just like, right. Obviously Ares is typically, he's a god of war. He's typically like a big bodybuilder looking type of guy.
I mean, they could have cast another older person.
Sure. It makes sense because he was in disguise.
Right.
Because technically, in Greek mythology, gods can look like whoever they want.
Right.
So, I was like, what? And then she gets her sword, and she tries to go and kill him, and he just
disintegrates it.
Yep. And she's like, what? And he basically tells her that, she's like, oh no, my God Killer sword. And he was just like, my dear, you're the God Killer.
Bum, 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 bum.
And he was like, only a God can kill a God.
Right.
And she's like, what?
The implication being at this point that...
she is the daughter of Zeus.
Right.
AKA his sister.
Right.
So she is a demigod.
Hooray.
So she's like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
She doesn't really say anything, but she's just, in her face, she's in shock. And he's basically trying to get her to be on his side.
Telling her about the evils of man, how they're awful.
They don't deserve our help.
I'm trying to wipe them out. I'm Ares, the god of war, so yeah. Let's wipe them out and create a new paradise, Diana. Join the dark side.
And she's like, no dice.
Yes, she kind of reacts kind of instinctively, it seems like. She just starts fighting.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's actually a very character-appropriate response on her part, because she does have convictions about this person, Ares.
Right. And she's heard the stories.
And this is, I think, where the movie kind of loses some of its steam. And it's all over the villains.
I definitely would have thought Diana would have reacted with, like, a little bit more, like...
shock?
Yeah, like, oh my gosh. Zeus is my dad, and you're my brother? Wow, that kind of explains a few things going on.
And my mom lied to me?
How dare she? I can't even go back to the Mascara to get mad at her.
Right.
I can't go back.
That's actually, that would be really upsetting, actually. That's true.
So, I feel like she should be, like, a little bit more shocked, but she's, you know, she's in action mode. She's just, like, she is shocked in her face a little bit, but she's just, like, this is Ares. Like, I still got a job to do.
There's a big... fight, a CGI fight with a CGI Ares with Diana, and I gotta admit, this is a bit gratuitous. It goes on for a little too long, and Ares doesn't act that much like a soldier war god
stereotype. Weird. Yeah, he typically, I mean, this movie can go in whatever direction it wants, absolutely. But like, we had this conversation off screen, off recording, off microphone, however you want to say
yes.
It. And basically, I was just like, Ares has his own powers. I was like, he does not have his father's powers. He's the god of war. Like, he has his own thing. Now, Diana would definitely have Zeus's powers because he is his daughter and she is a demigod. But in this movie, he can somehow use lightning. He's not really using god of war type of powers. He's just kind of, like, picking stuff up. He's like an earthbender, a little
right.
bit.
Right. Actually, he is. He's lifting stuff up with his mind and just
then putting
launching.
Metal around yeah. him as his...
That was finally something kind of appropriate for him.
Right.
Which that he finally gave himself armor. But
and
like,
he looked like the god of war.
But other than that, like, he just throws stuff with his mind at Diana, which is kind of lame as far as the fight goes.
Mm-hmm.
And what's more is just that kind of gives the CGI... more CGI-ness to do, and it just kind of bogs down the movie at this point. We don't know this person very well. If the movie were about finding Ares, this discovery might have been a little more interesting, but it's not. So the whole, like, surprise is a bit, feels a little silly. But at the same time, it's appropriate that it's somebody that Diana didn't expect. However, I just don't think this villain totally works for Wonder Woman here.
No. On the side, though, we do have Steve Trevor trying to get on that plane. He's about to get on it.
It's super compelling. At one point, a shell goes off in Diana's face, and she has a hard time
hearing.
And Steve Trevor, it looks like he's about to do something very dangerous, and he...
he runs up to her, and he tells her something, and she just... we hear, like, that, you know, when you lose your hearing for a moment...
her ears are ringing.
Ding! Yeah. And she can't hear what he's saying. He takes off. He gets on the plane.
Hands her a watch.
Yeah, his watch.
Yes.
And takes off.
The one that his dad gave him.
Yeah. And he gets on the plane. She's just like, she's still trying to gather herself because she's still like a little...
shell-shocked.
Yeah.
Not shell-shocked, but she's...
I wouldn't say wounded, but she's put down for a minute.
She's reeling.
Yeah.
She's reeling. Like,
and
she got punched real hard.
And she sees him go on the plane, and she's watching it go up, and he eventually, like, he goes up high enough that he can destroy the gas.
Safely.
And doesn't affect anybody. So he sacrifices himself, and she sees it, and she's like, no. And then she gets up, she starts fighting Ares again.
That's my favorite part of the movie. That's my favorite scene, when Steve Trevor... runs up to her, talks to her, gives her his family heirloom.
Yeah, eventually we see the scene again, but where we can hear him,
yes.
And he tells her that he has something he has to do. She's like, I can't hear, I can't.
Well, she tells him that, hey, Steve, whatever it is, I can do it.
Yeah.
She insists, like, no, if it's dangerous, let me do it. Because obviously, she's Wonder Woman. She can handle it. But then he says, no, only I can do this. And he's totally right.
He is the pilot.
He is the pilot. There is no one else who could possibly do this well. It's him, and that's it. And
he tells her he loves her.
Yeah. That actually made me feel something. Because I was, I was super sad. Because I was just like, oh, man. That's really hard.
Yeah.
That sucks so badly.
And she couldn't even say I love you too because she didn't hear him. At least not until later she realized.
It sounds like she kind of heard him but didn't understand what he was saying until like she was kind of in a better position in the fight when she finally kind of put everything together in her head.
So she gets herself back up after this tragedy she just saw unfold.
Her power is unleashed.
Yeah.
In her rage and grief.
Her demigodness.
Yes.
And
are flying everywhere. So Diana powers up, and Ares is like, yes, yes, kill them all, Diana. You know, that kind of thing, and saying, like, they're not worthy of you, and they're not good. They're just rotten people. And Dr. Poison, who we haven't said, but she has a scarred face. We haven't seen it, but she has a deformity on her jaw.
Mm-hmm.
She covers it up with a mask during the movie, and her power, Diana's power, has been causing the wind to kind of, like, blow harder, and things are moving very quickly, and it blows the mask off of Dr. Poison, who is kind of caught in the middle of Ares and Diana's battle, because they're going really fast all over the place.
Yeah, she's holding a truck.
A tank.
Yeah, and he's just like, kill her, obviously, like, she's killed a whole bunch of people, and, like, she's responsible for a lot of these, like, the gas and everything.
Dr. Poison is, yes.
And she's kind of standing there for a moment. I don't know if she's contemplating, really, but she's just...
Well, this is the moment where she realizes what Steve said and all of that, and she kind of realizes, oh, you know, what would Steve do? It seems like she kind of basically decides, like, what would Steve do here?
And she puts the tank down. Dr. Poison takes off.
Yes.
She runs off.
She runs off. Okay, right. She runs off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they start fighting again, and eventually Diana puts her two gauntlets together, gets ahead of him, even though honestly in this moment he still probably could have done something back. Like, he had a moment before she did what she did.
We need our bad guy to lose, apparently.
Yeah, and then she's like, goodbye, brother, and then shoots the lightning towards him and supposedly kills him.
It looks like he does die, but we don't know. Right. Really.
In Greek mythology, I mean, if gods could really kill gods, they'd all be dead.
But then we don't know what...
Yeah, this is a whole different... It could go anywhere. It's their story.
Yeah, if he's dead, that would totally track with what we saw. If he's still alive, great. They're both are kind of equally valid at this point.
Yeah. So after she kills Ares, the soldiers that are left on this base, at least the ones that we can see, they basically look like they just woke up from a dream.
But I think it's implied that...
Ares' hold on them has vanished.
Well, it looks like they don't want to fight anymore either.
Yeah.
Which was a big theme in World War I. Like, they would actually have Christmas. They would celebrate Christmas with the enemy soldiers. It was really weird. So I don't know. But my interpretation is that the soldiers were just like, wow, that was kind of nuts. Thank God I'm alive. Oh, there's an enemy soldier. I don't care right now.
Yeah.
I'm just so thankful I'm alive. And then they just kind of go their separate ways.
Yeah.
They don't fight anymore.
The war is ended.
The war is ended. So Diana goes back to London with the squad, and the city is celebrating the armistice. Peace has returned to Europe. It's still commemorated in Europe to this day. It's still a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of World War I. And they go to a wall, which is commemorating all the wounded, or
all the fallen.
All the fallen in the war. And they have a picture of Chris Pine in his uniform,
mm-hmm.
looking charming and wholesome. And then we kind of cut back to the present. And Diana just kind of summarizes what she learned from that experience was that love is what's going to save the world. It's not going to be through, like, combat or killing certain people or stopping certain entities. It's through love that...
I feel like I've heard this line a lot.
It is. It is. But it works for this movie and it works for this character.
Yeah.
And it works for, like, this whole concept because it's a war film set in a setting that, for a conflict that many historians would argue that was really unnecessary. World War I was a pretty unnecessary war. It just kind of happened because a lot of alliances had formed in Europe, and they blew up because of the assassination of a certain person, Archduke Ferdinand. And
so that's Wonder Woman for you.
That's Wonder Woman. It's so much fun. Like,
it's a really great film.
They get
Gal Gadot. She's obviously very beautiful, but she portrays this character beautifully.
She
inside and out.
Nails Diana. And it's great.
I love it.
It's really good. It's really funny because there's a saying, I forget who did say this. I'm pretty sure it was a comic book writer or artist, and he or she said, "If you want to stop a giant meteor from destroying the Earth, call Superman. If you want to solve a murder, call Batman. If you want to end a war, call Wonder Woman."
Solid.
And that's exactly what this movie was kind of all about. And God, they just get Diana right. It's so good. Gal Gadot carried this movie on her shoulders admirably. She's supported by a pretty good cast.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Trevor is portrayed excellently by Chris Pine. He's such an everyman. It works so well.
He's a likable character.
He really is. And like we said before, the villains of this movie are pretty eh.
For being a god, I feel like he was kind of taken down way too easily.
He was pretty lame.
I think it'd be pretty interesting to see, like, another god that's mad that she quote-unquote killed Ares. And like in another movie would be like, come at me, I'm a god, you're a demigod.
It might be interesting.
Yeah,
I think this movie has a huge villain problem. I almost wonder if Ares shouldn't have been the force that he was. Like, what if he was just this invisible force and there wasn't this gigantic weird CGI fight scene? Like, if this really were just her getting some soldiers who were fighting to just put down their guns.
Yeah.
That, I think, might have been more compelling in my book.
I mean, you know I love anything with Greek mythology. I just wish it could have been portrayed a little bit differently.
Yeah.
But overall, still a pretty good movie.
It is. Absolutely. What we got is a great movie. It's not perfect because of the reasons we said and some of the things, but those are really nitpicky. But like,
yeah.
But it's really good. Highly recommend it. Please go watch this movie.
Catch it on HBO.
Yeah, HBO Now. And needless to say, there is a sequel to this movie, Wonder Woman 84.
Which we will cover, but not as the celebration episode.
Nope.
So
yikes.
Stay tuned for that one. But next week we are going to tackle a TV show this time.
Woo!
We will be talking about House of Bly Manor.
Which is the second season to Haunting at Hill House.
Yes.
It's on Netflix. So please go ahead and watch that and catch up with us next week.
Of course. Bye, guys.
See ya.